You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. My name is Jason Rollison. In addition to this podcast, you can find me on the pages of BucksDugout.com, PiratesBreakdown.com, and believe it or not, a couple of newspapers around the Pittsburgh region, if you can remember what those are. Anyway, here we are. It is June 18th, Monday, June 18th. Back again solo this time. Thanks to Josh Taylor for joining me last time. Josh is always one of the best people in Pittsburgh to talk baseball with. I hope you agree. Anyway, we're moving on here. And right now, as I speak, as I record this, the Pittsburgh Pirates are playing the Milwaukee Brewers. Broke through on this back of a Jordy Mercer double to take a 1-0 lead going into the, I believe, the eighth inning now. The story of the game this far has been Trevor Williams, we're going to talk about in a second. And then we're going to talk some Gregory Polanco, Austin Meadows, and then we're going to talk about trade season starting to heat up. So go back to Williams for a second. He turned in one of his career starts this night, that being seven innings pitched, one hit, two walks, no runs, and seven strikeouts against the first-place Brewers. So a couple things I noticed right off the bat about this start from Williams. There is a better mix, and please bear with me. I know we are all sick and tired of hearing about Pittsburgh Pirates and pitch mix this year, but much better mix this year. Through 97 pitches, and 51 of those were fastballs, 20 were sliders, 11 sinkers, 12 changeups, so a very good mix. You notice the second most pitch to the scene tonight was the slider, and I think that's going to be key for Williams going forward. He's starting to throw it more, had that horrendous May. You can go to my post at BucksDugout.com where I wrote about Trevor Williams in May and how he started to creep up into that 61% fastball usage, which is just too much. That was the minimum during May, save for one start. But now that a little bit of a mix is happening, I think that Williams can utilize that. You know, the Pirates preach that everything must be predicated off of fastball command. You tune into the Neil Huntington Show every Sunday on 93.7 The Fan, where Greg Brown will pepper him with questions. And he, being Huntington, will absolutely not flinch, not waver from the fact that while they recognize a trend, and this is his words, everything for them is still predicated off fastball command. So here's how I would propose to Neil Huntington and the pitch analytics guys, the Pirates, some of whom I've talked to and are very, you know, very into their craft. You know, we can't sell them short. They know what they're doing. But it's one thing to notice a trend, it's another thing to embrace it before it gets too late. And here's how I would suggest the Pirates can do a little bit of both. They can still have the fastball command and mixing more breaking balls. And to that I say, flash the breaking stuff a little earlier in the count. As per StatCast, the Pirates throw the fastball. Now we're defining a fastball as everything in the fastball group, so four seams, two seams, sinkers. They throw fastballs at the first pitch of the at-bat 19% of the time, tied with Chicago for the most in the major leagues. So look, why not just take a little bit of that and flash a little bit of off-speed? You know, every team has so much invested in advanced scouting that they go to the Pirates and they look, you know, for a team that's going to be playing them coming up soon, and they say, okay, these guys still love their fastballs, and they want to set up the fastball before they do the breaking ball. You can still flash a breaking ball earlier in the count and have your fastball command. It does not have to be mutually exclusive. So we'll have to see what happens with that. That's just something I would do right away, something I would suggest. Maybe that needs to stand up to more study, and maybe I'll be writing about that soon on BucksDugout.com. You never know. But that would be a start. And I think for guys like Williams, who don't have the liveliest fastballs in the world, there could be... you could get a double benefit from it as well. So that's kind of where I'm at in terms of the Pirates pitch mix. It's something that, my God, it seems like I write about it every week in one form or another. I just wrote a piece on Bucks Dugout about Felipe Vasquez and his struggles. And his sequencing is so predictable. It really is. Go check out the piece if you can. It's up now at BucksDugout.com. But the gist of it is his two most frequent pairings are fastball-fastball and fastball-changeup. And yeah, when you've got a changeup that can sit at 88 to 90 miles per hour and still have enough separation from your four seam, you are pretty tempted to use it, I would imagine. But it's so predictable. So no one's telling the Pirates you know, we're not going to come and take your fastballs away. We just need to see you maybe mix in a breaking ball earlier in the count or different times in the count. If something's an obvious fastball count, I think that might be a good chance. I'm just saying. So I'm sure we're going to talk about this more. So let's just move on for tonight. Before we do that, I want to remind you that if you're a business, or if you own a business, I should say, or you're a decision maker at a business, it would be very beneficial for you to get in touch with me. We are soliciting advertising for this podcast. Our rates are extremely low and very, very high on ROI because this is a thrice weekly podcast. I'm so glad I got to use the word thrice, finally. Three times a week, so you get good return. And like I said, our rates are pretty low. So why don't you give me an email at jrollison@gmail.com or find me on Twitter at jrollisonpgh. So, okay, let's talk about Polanco a little bit. Past two games, including tonight, he's 6-for-6 and getting on base. And as, you know, a friend of the show, Chris Mack, said on Twitter, at the Chris Mack, please follow him, it's worth it. Since May 31st, Austin Meadows hitting .245 with a .683 OPS. Gregory Polanco hitting .256 with an .831 OPS. I'm here to tell you today not to get too hung up on Polanco's batting average. I fully believe in a couple of years, batting average is going to be fully devalued to the point where even the common fan does not hang their hat on it as much. I said on the podcast last week with Josh Taylor that the team that that tells Polanco, look, you sell out for power, is going to be the team that gets the most out of him. And the thing about Polanco is he has been pretty productive this season overall. Granted, there are peaks and valleys for sure, but right now, as we speak, 18 doubles on pace to perhaps eclipse his career high of 35 in 2015. The 9 home runs are there. That kind of translates into a WRC that I'm going to pull up now. So bear with me while I kill some time to go to Fangraphs, type in his name, focus my eyes on what I need to focus on after a hard day of work and a hard night, well, not so hard night, of watching Pirates baseball. And yes, his WRC plus is 99, so he's right back to about league average, which is 100. So, again, the team that tells him, look, just go out there and be the poster boy for the three true outcome idea. That being, three true outcomes being that you either walk, strike out, or hit a home run. Those are the three truest outcomes in baseball. They have the least amount of influence from external factors such as and internal factors such as defense, weather conditions, that kind of thing. And he's right now is walking at a 12.0% clip, highest of his career, striking out at a 23.3% rate, 3% higher than his previous high of 20.3 in 2016. So he is becoming the poster boy for the three true outcomes. And he has a BABIP, batting average on balls in play, of .242. Now, what I like to do with BABIP is kind of qualify it with some other stats. So I'm going to go to his batted ball and tell you that he's making hard contact 35.2% of the time, just 0.5% off of his career high. Not making much medium contact as he has been before, 43.2%. Soft contact, a little high, 21.6. But the point is, he's hitting the ball pretty hard. You know, you have to think that some of these will start falling. It looks like it's well-earned bad luck with BABIP based on his hard hit rate. So look, be happy with what you have with Polanco. I know it's hard to do because of how he came up in 2014 and the buzz surrounding him around that time. But this is the kind of player he is. I would not get too hung up on the batting average. So last little thing I want to talk about tonight is the Nationals made a trade, one of the first, I would call it, big move, quote-unquote, of the summer. That being trading reliever Kelvin Herrera, formerly very accomplished reliever, to the Nationals. The Royals traded him to the Nationals, that is, for a couple of prospects, one of which I can tell you, Kelvin Gutierrez, a third base and shortstop prospect. I can tell you with certainty that the Pirates have liked that guy for quite a while now, based on some reporting I've done. And that is a sourced quote, if I had to say it like that. He's been bandied about in a couple of trade packages from Melanson and the McCutcheon discussions that happened in the offseason of 2016. So, you know, who knows? This could spark the Pirates into, you know, maybe talking with the Nationals again, perhaps for Francisco Cervelli. The Nationals have a couple of other prospects that the Pirates have really spent some time into scouting as part of past deals, so there could be an easy fit there. But what I'm wondering is if the Nationals breaking the dam, so to speak, is going to cause some other teams to come a knocking on the Pirates' door a little bit more aggressively. Neil Huntington in his comments yesterday to the media kind of indicated that they have, quote, had more conversations about adding than they have been about subtracting. I'm not going to say that's a lie. Neil does have a way of kind of muddling the truth a little bit. All GMs do. Let's get that right. Let's get that absolutely right. It's not uncommon for GM speak to be a thing outside of Pittsburgh. It happens, believe me. But I happen to believe that if you look at adding and subtracting, just those two terms together, you could make a case that adding prospects to keep this thing going next year when you have Elias Diaz seemingly ready to step in as a starting catcher over Cervelli, then maybe that is considered an add in Neil Huntington's world. So don't get too hung up on his vocabulary, but I do think that with the Nationals breaking the dam, as well as John Parado reporting that Mariners and Yankees prospects are in attendance tonight at Brewers Pirates. Yankees Mariners scouts are in attendance at Brewers Pirates, that this could get heated up pretty quickly. Now the Pirates are still hovering around 500, quasi hovering around contention in the NL Central. If they win tonight, of course, that's, you know, a full game gained on the Brewers. So, you know, maybe by the end of this week, this homestand, Neil Huntington might be more ready to talk. And I think that one of Huntington's biggest criticisms as a GM that I personally agree with is they're not very aggressive in these trades. I would like to see the Pirates set the market for once. Get aggressive. It's June 18th now. You know, yes, it's a full month and a half until the trade deadline, but be aggressive and set the market, especially the catcher market where, you know, frankly, every team is a little hesitant to give up prospects for a catcher, especially one with as many injury questions as Cervelli. So I think if Huntington got out in front of that one, if indeed Cervelli is the guy to be traded, who you guys voted in my Twitter poll as their most tradable piece, recent Twitter poll, you can find me on Twitter at JRollisonPGH. If he's the most tradable piece, then get out there and get aggressive with it. I think that would behoove you, and it would really make any package coming in better than what you might get a month from now. So before I go, I just want to take one little aside here about Neil Huntington's comments yesterday when he talked about attendance and what they put into the team and how it all ties together. Please keep in mind that Neil Huntington's first words were, when we are better on the field. Neil always says something like that when talking about attendance versus resources into the team. So I think the quote about we'll do more when there's more attendance gets the headlines, it gets the sports talk radio machine going. Certain sports talk radio personalities treat this as manna from the heavens, but please parse Neil's words a bit more carefully. Yes, I agree that he could word things better, but just please put some thought into what he's saying before you perhaps fire off a tweet with any kind of nutting hashtag or anything like that. Please, I beg you. That's going to do it for tonight's Locked On Pirates. We are going to come back to you twice more this week with some good stuff. Please follow me on Twitter, at JRollisonPGH. And again, you can find me on the pages of BucksDugout.com and PiratesBreakdown.com. And I welcome any and all feedback, comments, questions, discussion, food recommendations, restaurant recommendations. Anything you want to hit me up with, hit me up. Thanks. Have a good night.